Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Harold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our November 2022 program. Our very special speaker for today is Kate Valentine. Please silence your cell phones so that you can all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you will have the opportunity to write down questions for our speaker, or you can be writing them down during the program. There are cards on the table for that purpose. After the talk, we will have a short announcement break to collect the question cards and then have a question and answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce a group of three Walsh Jesuit High School students, Gianna Thompson, Raina Smith, and Madeline Rabank, who will present our opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love, that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one.
O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth. So precious in your eyes, bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth.
Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united, every creature, as we journey towards our infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. We encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Bless our speaker. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's now my pleasure to introduce our speaker, Kate Valentine. I'm going to make the introduction a little shorter. Let's just mention this. She is a Laudato Si animator, and she will help us to live the message of the encyclical by adapting simple ideas for reducing waste, by adopting earth-friendly habits in our landscape. Her presentation will help us to understand why it's so important that we all make these changes. Again, Kate Valentine.
Thank you. And I'm so excited to have young people present because I do these presentations and rarely do I get the opportunity to speak to you. And this is really about and for you and the world you're going to inherit from the rest of us. So I'm just very, very pleased. I would start by explaining how and why I started doing this stuff. I've always been concerned about the environment, but I never was an activist. I was privileged to go to the Parliament of World Religions in 2018. These are people of all faiths that come from everywhere on the face of the earth. And two things happened there. The first night they had a panel of environmental scientists speak. They already had the results of the UN report, but it had not been made public. They were horrified, and I was horrified when I listened to what they had to say. They begged us, please do something. We are scientists. We can tell you what will happen, but we do not know how to motivate people. I got to hear from people all over the world who already are being more affected. We live in a wonderful place as far as climate goes. The expectation is that we will only be affected 5%. That doesn't mean we aren't bringing consequences here. But we are not facing the forest fires, the hurricanes, the droughts that have caused so much starvation in the world. And that's why it's important for us to get in touch and to remember that everybody is not as fortunate as we are. At that conference, there was a woman from South Africa who spoke about the drought. They had been told by the government that as of a certain date, their water is going to be cut off. People started talking to each other and finding ways to conserve water. They actually cut their water consumption in half. And by doing that, the water lasted until the rains came. We never had the water cut off. So what I'm talking about today is not going to prevent climate change. What I'm hoping is we can slow it down. If we slow it down, we give scientists a chance to find ways to help us, and we give species a chance to adapt. Extinction occurs when change happens suddenly. Think about the meteor hitting the Earth and no more dinosaurs. Plants actually move. We don't really think about trees moving. But as climate changes slowly, they slowly move north or south or whichever direction they need to move. I should get to the next slide here. Let's see. The other reason we need to do something is because it's a part of our faith. So these are a couple of quotes from Pope Francis. And really, the important message from Laudato Si is that everything is interconnected. So what we do affects everything. Animals, people, the flora, the fauna is affected by our behavior. So I like these two quotes from Pope Francis. Many things have to change, of course, but it is we human beings who most have to change. We really need to change, and we need to stop wasting. And there is nobility in the duty to care for creation through little daily actions. There are two approaches to climate change. One is top-down and the other is bottom-up. I'm a bottom-up person. We do need those big changes in infrastructure. There's no doubt about that. But I feel like this is something I have control over, and I can change my behavior. So I was at St. Basil's, the Social Concerns Commission, with quite a heavy year about creation care. And I was assigned the task of writing bulletin blurbs. Well, we didn't get very far into the year when COVID hit, and people weren't even going to church. So then we printed it up as a booklet. For 2 years, I changed everything around so it would coincide with the church calendar. And that's what I brought today, are these booklets. And please take them. Climate change is not controversial. After talking to all these scientists, it's really not controversial. But for many people, it is, because they're not really reading what they should be reading. There's so many fossil fuels, so much money to put out false information. But if I come across someone who doesn't believe in climate change, I don't fight with them. I tell them, well, you know, did you know that the oceans are absorbing the carbon that we are putting out? That's one of the big ways that our carbon is being absorbed. And that makes the oceans more acidic, which kills the phytoplankton. The phytoplankton produce at least half of the oxygen we breathe. So even if you don't believe in climate change, you need to be concerned. People make lots of excuses, and I have a slide at the end if we can get to it. But reduce, reuse, and recycle are not equal. The only one that really cuts out the carbon is to reduce our consumption. We become a throwaway society. Everything is convenient. I remember when my grandmother died and my mother was cleaning out her place and she found all these margarine tubs. And my mother goes, what was the matter with her? Well, her generation didn't throw things away like we do.
It was still useful, so she saved it.
People use the recycling and reusing as an excuse for not doing what we need to do, which is just cut back our consumption in the first place. When we recycle, first of all, much of it does not get recycled. Secondly, it can get recycled in a way that actually is very hazardous. For a while, we were dumping plastic on islands that were impoverished. When the moon's plastic floats, monsoons come, it all gets washed into the ocean. And it takes energy to move things as well as energy to remake things. We also need to work at getting it out of the air in the first place. So things like planting trees, regenerative farming, all can help us. I'll talk more about this later in the talk. Hopefully I'll get there. I combined two different talks, so if I go fast, please write down some questions for me. So why do we need to reduce paper? Because people get all excited. They're using plastic, they're using paper. We grow trees so we can keep growing more trees. But there are problems with that. First of all, they're grown in monocultures. That is not a healthy environment. In order to have a healthy environment, we need a variety. We need what we see in our forests here, because our insects are often dependent upon specific plants in order to live. And we need insects. That's really kind of the bottom of the food chain. They're not the total bottom, but it's very close to it. We produce carbon when we start cutting them down and processing. It takes a lot of energy to turn a tree into a piece of paper. And then we haul it. Paper isn't light. So we're putting still more carbon into the air. And what a lot of people do not know when they use a paper cup is that it's lined with plastic. The older part of this audience remembers we bought wax paper cups. Paper does not hold water. So how do they make these paper cups hold water? They spray them with plastic. Canned goods have a plastic liner. Do you remember when cans would get rusty? So we're still using plastic. And even when they say it is compostable, most of these products can only be composted in an industrial composter. I tried it in my backyard, it doesn't work. Before I knew this, I bought these bags to put all my compost in. I thought, oh, that's much easier. I'm not going to have to wash out the container all the time. And I ended up having to fish them all out. So what is the problem with plastic? We don't know what to do with it. And so much of it is ending up in our waterways. We kill animals. A lot of people that I know have gotten very upset about the plastic, but they're still not upset about climate change. They kill them by entrapment. People are always coming up to me saying, do you know there's a Pacific? There's a garbage patch in the Pacific Ocean. And I tell them, there are two garbage patches in the Pacific Ocean. And all of our oceans have garbage patches. But let's bring it down to here. We're not living on the ocean, right? We have a plastic problem in the Great Lakes. We don't have garbage patches, but we do have microplastic. So those of you who are drinking water from Lake Erie, and even if you aren't drinking the water, beer, anything that's made with water from Lake Erie, you're getting microplastic in your body. In fact, it is theorized, they know that plastic produces endocrine disruptors. Young men today have half the testosterone levels of their grandfathers. They know that these disruptors cross the placenta barrier. And that there is a theory that those male fetuses are being affected by plastic that the mother has ingested throughout her life. make sure, and as far as taking plastic bottles, this is really bad, not just for the environment, but for your health. Many people are not aware that these bottles, if they get heated at all, which could be in a truck, in a store window, don't leave plastic bottles in your cars because it releases methane into the water. So if you don't care about the environment, please, for your own health's sake, give up plastic bottles. I just don't drink. If that's all the place has, I won't take a drink. So let's talk about some ideas for some things we can do in the house, because I'm going to talk about the exterior, outside in the yard. And I know not everybody has that. So I'm going to turn this way so I can see. So the first thing I did to give up paper, and this has been gradual, I've been doing this for years, is right in the middle there is the stack of cloth napkins. Get rid of your paper napkins. You don't really need them. This doesn't create a big problem. It goes in with my regular load of laundry. But I like them folded like this. I have a friend who just has a big basket and she just chops them. Throws them in. If you're at house, you just grab one. Next to that is my solution for getting rid of paper towels. I found this little basket in the basement that's no longer being used. And I put dishcloths, thin washcloth, anything like that, into this basket. So I eat a lot of fruit. I wash it before I eat it, and I dry it with one of these. I wanted something I knew was going to be clean. They're white. I put them in with my hot load of whites. I have some bigger ones that I use for, like if I have a major spill on the floor. I still use paper towels, but they're under my sink, not on top of it. And I use them for grease. So when I have a lot of fat and I don't want to dump my pipes clogged up, I still resort to using paper towels. On one side you see a gift bag, much better than wrapping paper, because you can use them over and over. Instead of putting tissue paper, I put a clip so they can't look in, because my grandkids would be looking in, I promise. And gift bags, I made masks during the pandemic. So I use leftover fabrics. We just sort of pass them around the family. You might get your own bag back next year. And we just keep using them. And handkerchiefs. We all grew up with handkerchiefs. And we iron them. What a crazy thing to do. Iron something you're blowing your nose into. You don't need to iron. I never iron my handkerchiefs. Just hold them up, put them in my drawer. No one has ever gasped in horror when I pulled out my unironed handkerchief. If you're sick and you feel like for sanitary reasons you want to use Kleenex, use Kleenex. But you don't need it all the time.
Okay, I need to pick up here. I'm talking too much already.
So grocery bags, some places are banning the plastic bags. We all know about the problems that exist because of them. But did you know that cotton is a high carbon releasing process? So those little nylon bags, you can wash, they're easy to carry, you can throw them in your washing machine, and they're carbon neutral after four uses. Cotton bags take hundreds of times before they're carbon neutral, and they wear out. The little ones that are, Rose, would you pull up my purse? These little ones I have hanging off of my purse. I put them on the outside because people say, what are they? And then I have a chance to talk about it. I've had for 15 years. We talked about the problem with paper. If you want something that stands up, you can get them made out of recycled plastic. Replacements for plastic wrap. The first thing isn't on there, which is a shower cap. Or a pipe. That doesn't work very well when you're traveling with it. Those round things are silicone. They stretch to go over bowls. I am not a fan of beeswax. People always tell me about beeswax wraps. You can't use hot water on them. It's beeswax. They'll melt. And they only last about a year. And they're using virgin cotton. So if you're making them yourself out of an old shirt, it's fine. Most of us don't want to do that. The silicone plate, things that go over place, you can cook with, you can do all kinds of things. The one thing I will badmouth are the silicone sheets.
they don't work. Don't buy them. I get comments from all kinds of people, and I never had anyone say that they were any good. Plastic bags and silicone bags. The advantage of silicone is you can put them in the dishwasher. In our convenience, time-saving world, that's a big deal. The ones that kind of, like are the old bags, that those are easy or to use. The ones with the slides are kind of hard to pull off sometimes. They do have a pleat in the bottom, which makes them nicer in that respect. Sometimes they can get a little gummy. I keep a little container of cornstarch and baking soda, sprinkle it on the inside to keep them from sticking. And the plastic ones are okay. They don't last as long, and you can't put them in the dishwasher. I get concerned about something that you're using for too long that's plastic because it does break down, start to break down. When you go out, don't take a to-go box. I take mine with me. The turquoise and the blue, that's my most common. I give those away. They fit in a purse. They fit in a man's pocket. Nothing fits in a woman's pocket. I have a silicone cup that I go into restaurants and things. For a while, places were not letting you use your own, but I'm finding that more and more you can take a cup in and they will fill your cup for you. Cleaning products is the biggest, newest thing. You can get every kind of cleaning product there is anymore without the plastic. You have to go online for it. And one of the reasons why I highly encourage people to do this is the more people that do this, the more the big manufacturers are going, hey, we're missing out on a bunch of money here. People want this stuff. I have toothpaste tablets up here. This is a table full of samples we'll talk about at the end that you can come and take. Even Colgate is making it. You can get Colgate toothpaste tablets, but they're putting it in a glass jar. And I won't buy them because of that. You can get them with fluoride, you can get them without fluoride. And Colgate puts out a notice saying we're working on a more environmentally friendly packaging.
You name it, you can get it. So let's talk about the outside.
First thing to know is soil and dirt are not the same. A handful of healthy soil has vastly more interacting life than there are stars in the galaxy. When you put chemicals on it, you're killing the critters. Those little critters are what deliver the nutrients to the plant. So what has happened because of chemical fertilizers, which got introduced post-World War II because we had to do something with all this stuff that made World War II, they actually, you know, it's like I said, they're killing the critters, and now farmers have to add in more and more and more fertilizers to get the same results because the soil is no longer healthy. It also, tilling also contributes to erosion. So, roots, my favorite thing is roots. I didn't know this, so I got all excited when I heard about this. How important roots are. Because that's the carbon in the ground. If at the end of the year you pull your annuals out, you pull the carbon out. That's what makes your soil fertile. Fertile soil, everybody knows it looks black, right? Carbon is black. Not only that, as those roots decay, they allow for the water to permeate the earth. And let's go to the next one here. So, I'm going to talk more about grass and lawns. They are an environmental disaster. Sorry if you're an HOA leader. But they present numerous problems. We're using 10 times more chemicals in the farmer's own. It puts carbon into the air. Fertilizer runoff pollutes our waterways. Everybody here should know about the algae blooms near Toledo. Lawns have very shallow roots. So we end up watering them, and that uses up our water. It's not as important here, but in many parts of the country and the world, it's very important. And they produce, our lawns are producing 4 times more carbon than what they absorb. It is the largest irrigated crop in the U.S. It is. Think about that. Do you really want to waste? Do you really want to put carbon in the air to have a lawn? And most of us need to do something, but instead of having your whole yard, one big lawn, think about grass as area rugs and runners. That's what your lawn, that's what your yard should look like. This is just a little picture to help you see what turf grass compared to our native pollinators' root systems look like. The turf grass is over there on the left. You can hardly see it. There's hardly any roots. That's why we can dig this inch or two off and roll it up and put inside, because they don't have deep roots. Insects are so important. We know that they pollinate our food sources. Many of our things are, not all some things are pollinated by wind, but they do a lot of that. The birds eat the bugs. That's important. Actually, in other parts of the world, and I've been to them and gone to markets where you see big barrels full of all kinds of insects. They are their food source. They're disappearing again because we use chemicals. Those of us that are older remember the fun of catching lightning bugs. And they were everywhere. There, it's just incredible to see the numbers of lightning bugs on the road. Even my windshield is getting cleaner because I'm hitting fewer insects. So these are some pictures of my yard. I wish I would have known I was going to end up doing this when I first started my yard. So on the left, the pictures are the same place, just years difference. You will see that, and you can also see I do, that's an area rug right there. Other places, you see runners in my yard. I did it because I don't like to work. I didn't know any of this stuff. And I found out that by not using chemicals, all these plants were saving themselves. Most of my plants, I started with 1 or 2 plants. I have given literally thousands of plants away to people because everything readily seeds. Things you would never think that would seed. On the left, you can still see there are some annuals, and there's space in between, and there's mulch. On the right, the plants crowd everything out. It cuts your weeding drastically. You still have to weed. I'm not saying it's totally maintenance-free. I get my grandkids to come over and give me a couple hours in the spring, but usually about June, and they weed for me. And then in between, it's not that much, and I can do it myself. I always like to give ideas to people about what they can use and what they can plant. So these are some things that I know are not going to go crazy, because a lot of our pollinators, if you plant them, they will come up everywhere and drive you insane and you can't get rid of them. These are nice, well-behaved plants. So my whole point of doing this is to motivate you to go home and do something. You don't have to do all the ideas in the book. Do one thing, and when that becomes a habit, do something else. Here's one of the things you can do. Plant a pollinator plant in your yard. So these are very easy plants, like I said. Some of them I've had. The Baptisia I have moved from house to house to house to house. It was from my mom's yard. Some more. Service berry is a great one of our native trees. You can eat the berries if you beat the birds to it. I have pawpaw trees. You can eat the pawpaw fruit. That is a state fruit here, and the pawpaws are disappearing. Also, persimmons. They're great. They're very sweet if you've never eaten one. Washington hawthorn is a very beautiful tree, but I will warn you, it does produce thorns. Ohio buckeye. Redbud is a favorite tree of mine. I love going south, and you hit down into Cincinnati, and there's so many more redbuds. at the right time of year, the whole sides of the hills are covered with these flowers. We also can get rid of some of the invasives. Firebush, calorie pears, people know them here as Cleveland pears or Bradford pears. And this is just a field where they just start coming up and they're destroying our native plants because they shade things out. Periwinkle, a lot of people put periwinkle as a ground cover. It's not a good ground cover anyway, it's too low and the weeds come up in between it.
So obviously when you're planting, you want to plant according to size.
When you plant trees, and by the way, the oak is the best, is one of our best pollinator plants, because the insects survive in the leaf litter and they support an incredible number of species of insects. So you want to plant a tree. In planting trees, if you plant them two or three trees, I like the triangle thing, they don't blow down so easily because their roots intersect with one another and they hold each other up. Like what happens in a forest? The thing is, all of this is trying to imitate nature. God really knew what he was doing. We thought he didn't. I remember this old joke I read years ago. I wish I had kept it. I don't remember most of it. It was a conversation between St. Peter and God about what we do in our yards. And the one line I remember is, they're talking about the mulch. People chopping up bark, like trees, to put them on the ground for mulch. And God says to St. Peter, what happened to all the leaves I gave them? Why aren't you just putting that, leaving the leaves? When you plant trees, plant native pollinators that grow in the shade. Because we really should not be removing our leaves because they do help. That is where many of our insects over winter. So if you at least have a part of your yard where you can put leaves in, and if you have to remove leaves, you want to wait until it's 50 degrees in the spring because that's when many of those pollinators start to emerge. So just like anything, like I said before, make one change, make another change, make another change. And this is a list of kind of how difficult things they are. And you start with one thing, you can keep moving. So the first thing, the most important thing you can do is stop using chemicals. Don't till the soil if you have a garden. You want to keep your soil covered with leaves or with plants. Skip the mulch. Grow the plants close together. Cuts down on the weed. Don't pull annuals out of the ground. Cut them off. I just leave them decay right where they are. Most of mine I just leave standing. I've gotten lazier and lazier as I've gotten older. It's too much trouble. I've cut them off. The snow will beat them down eventually in my mom. And I leave them anyway. I start leaving them because I would see them, the little critters eating them. So that's why I started leaving them. I didn't know all this other stuff. I'm lazy. Cut hollow stem things down to 18 inches. If you ever bought a bee house or saw a bee house, it's like little stems that are hollow. So you're providing nesting sites for insects. Again, leave the winter seeds for winter, incorporate native pollinator plants. A lot of the landscape people are really into say the tragedy is not that we don't have pollinator, that we have them given up on everything, the pollinator plants everywhere. The tragedy is we leave them out of our yard altogether. I talked about putting the pollinators under your trees. Reduce the size of your yard. If you can get rid of some of your lawn, it's great. I have very little grass in my yard because I didn't want the idea of cutting it. Oh, the other thing you can do is, if you don't have a big yard, and is to cut down on the pollution from the lawnmowers, put an electric lawnmower. That's a little more expensive. You can plant native species like pockets. Many of us have to deal with HOA police. They're a pain. They want your yard to look a certain way. So planting pollinators here or there, planting with hardscaping in it, helps to look, make the pollinators look like they belong. That's one way to kind of help keep the HOA happy. I was going to leave this slide out, and then I decided against it. Because one of the things I learned at that conference was is that we need to speak up. People are afraid to speak up these days. But we need to. And you can do it in a way that doesn't cause a fight. So these are things that I hear from people, and I'll tell you what I say to them. China, this happened to me just last week. China produces more carbon than we do. They're doing nothing. Well, first of all, it's not true that they're doing nothing. They do produce more carbon, but I remind them that China has a lot more people than we do. Per capita, we are the worst polluters. So does India have a lot more people? I don't believe that humans can cause climate change. I remind them about the ozone layer and when we banned fluorocarbons, how the ozone started to heal itself. I remind them about how people putting milkweed in their yard has helped to save the monarch butterflies. We do make a difference. If we change and others don't, it's not going to make a difference. Well, my, that didn't hold water with my mother when I would say, everybody else is doing it. As Christians, as Catholics, we need to do what's right. What's just? Not all scientists agree on climate change. I've talked to a number of scientists. All of them agree on it. They say there is no controversy. I had a brother-in-law who sent me an article because he doesn't believe in this stuff. Please keep an open mind when you read this. Well, I read it and I had a bunch of stuff on that was inaccurate. So I went online and did some investigating. And that supposed climate scientist worked for fossil fuel. I recycle, so I don't need to be concerned about how much I use. Again, talking about how much carbon is being put in the air, the problems with waste. Oh, we're telling me I got to end. I tell people as far as cleaning up after pets, there's a lot of plastic bags that come into your house you don't even think about. Use those. And climate change will hurt us where we live. That's about the most un-Christian thing I can think of.
So if we got the message is, if we all make simple changes, together we make profound changes. Just look what happened in South Africa. So these are just some books I recommend. I got them over there.
You can check them out.
I recommend them because they seem to produce people wanting to change. These are some more resources that are here. And then I want to talk briefly about what's up here. I have samples. I have the booklet. This is a new one, the Catholic one I just got. I used to put it all in order for you. Now I kind of group it under winter, spring. And you have to figure out where Easter goes every year because I got tired of all the work. I'm lazy. This is a secular version. Some people were unhappy with me when I put out a secular version because I was doing it for the Social Concerns Commission of Catholics. And I said, I don't think God wants us to just talk to other Catholics. I have lots of friends, some of whom are atheists. So I want you to take these booklets. If you want more than one because you know someone you want to give it to, please take it.
Were the older ones are from this year, so if you want them, you can take them too, but the newer ones are over there. I didn't talk too much about this, but under food storage, mason jars are great. Anybody who uses mason jars know they get rusty. These are some silicone ones. You can freeze in them. You can freeze food in mason jars. You need to do a couple of things. The glass cannot go from hot to cold or cold to hot. So you let things cool down before you put them in the freezer. With the lids that screw on, you have to wait until the food freezes to tighten them, or you produce bear cage. These you don't have to. you can pick one, and if there's leftovers at the end, you can take more. Talked about toothpaste. You can take one of these and you can try toothpaste tablet out. It's sort of like those, you might have done those to reveal where you're missing. It's sort of that kind of, you just chew it up and brush your teeth. These do not have fluoride in them, but you can get them fluoride. I have bar shampoo. You can buy bar shampoo, bar conditioner. These were donated by Sugar Valley Soap and Salve. They're located in Solon, so it's a local company. They are scraps. If you buy a bar, you're going to get a nice bar. These are when they make it, and you have to scrape things off. They're just scraps, but it's enough to give you a sense of what it is to use bar shampoo instead of something that comes in a plastic bottle. There's a bunch of different varieties. And anything, if you don't like it, don't assume that it's terrible, because things come in different brands. You know, so I talk about laundry detergent sometimes, and I don't like to say use this one or that one, but for a while I started to say I use this and it's terrible, and before I could say anything, somebody in the group said, I use that thing that I thought was detergent, I thought was terrible, I love it. So you really have to try for yourself. Then I have samples of a homemade deodorant. Four simple ingredients. If you have breast cancer in your family, you get told not to use deodorants. These are, you know, look at the ingredients. I tell everybody, don't take my word for it. Ask your doctor, because I'm not a doctor. But, you know, it's baking soda and cornstarch, coconut oil, and a few drops of essential oil. And people who, like my brother, doesn't believe in climate change, and my sister-in-law, they love this. And actually, they go, it's so good. You should start making it. I'm like, the formula's online. I don't know. There is the formula for it right here. Over there is a copy of the page where it lists all the things outside that you can do if you want to list. And the book list, there's also something from Cranes on Lake Erie. So you can just look at those. And please write questions down. That's the best part, is answering your questions.
We all want to thank Kate for her passionate, heartfelt, inspiring message on dedication to God's creation. I have a few announcements. If you have questions, please hold those up, and our board members will be around to pick those up. Our next First Friday Club will be here on Friday, December 2nd, with a presentation by Vatican correspondent John Allen, who will share with us the latest news from Vatican City. If you've never heard him before, you really need to be here. He is just full of information, what's happening in Rome, and a lot of really just insightful reflections on the church today. If you're listening to our podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations by sending a check for $20 to the First Friday Club, Post Office Box 13291, Fairlawn 44334, or call our phone 330-535-7668. Or using on our website using Eventbrite. Connections to the emails and Eventbrite and the phone number are on our website. If you are signing up for a particular month, please make sure that we have your reservation in by Monday or Tuesday before the speech. We've extended that time. It used to be the end of the last week. Subscription letters for next year's programming will be going out next week. We have some of our flyers on the table of our next year program. So if somebody wants to grab those, especially if you're not on our mailing list, if you're on our mailing list, you will receive this with subscription information. And we invite people to sign up for the whole year or for multiple talks. If you're not on our mailing list, please see one of our board members and give us your information. A few recognitions. If you're a first-time attendee, give us a wave so we can welcome you. If you're first time at First Friday, raise your hand, please. I'd like to recognize our students today. We have students from Archbishop Hovind, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuits. Students, give us a wave. And I'm sure they'll take some of this information out with them and get to work on some of these, because this is their future, of course. And I also like to recognize members of the First Friday Club Board, so raise your hand, First Friday Club Board members. Okay, I'd like to call up our Vice President for Programming, Deacon William Yoho, who will handle the questions.
You're back on.
Okay.
All right.
You want to just pull it out, probably be easier.
Well, Kate, I have to tell you that I've never had this many questions, so we're not going to be able to get them on. That's a good thing. All right. Can you recite scriptures or Catholic doctrine for the basis of your conservation views?
I am not a scripture scholar. I've read Laudato Si and almost everything that Pope Francis has written about it. I have a whole bookshelf of books. But you can go back to the very beginning. God created the earth, and he said this was good. I think about what happened to Adam and Eve because they sinned. They got thrown out of the Garden of Eden. We're throwing ourselves out. This earth is paradise.
Also, quite frankly, just look it up on the internet. There's about 35 scriptures. I know that wasn't a smart comment, but there are tons of scripture. There's about 35 scriptures that I just found. And I'll share one from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over livestock, over all of the earth, over all the creations." So that tells us that we're responsible for that.
The word dominion doesn't mean we can do what we want.
Absolutely.
The dominion means that we are to care for the earth.
Where is the best place to buy silicone bags?
Well, there's always the internet. You know where I buy most of my stuff like that is from either Home Goods or TJ Maxx. I just, whenever I'm in the area, I go and look for things. I don't use plastic bags, with the exception of the very large ones, because my recipe for pizza makes two, and I haven't found a bag big enough to hold pizza.
All right, thank you. How long have you researched this, and what are the places that they could go to obtain more information?
You're asking me tough questions. I became interested in the environment way back many years ago when I read a book about diet first, rest for a small planet, and I realized that we needed to change what we were eating. My family revolted when I tried to make them vegetarians, so I became meat light, and that's really where it all started. I didn't become a real avid researcher until 2018. I do have an entire bookshelf of books that I have read. They're not just sitting there. I don't claim to be a scientist. My thing is to help you to find ways to not waste.
Would growing clover at our school help the environment?
Absolutely. Clover is a very important pollinator plant. They start blooming very early, and so our bees and other insects need that very early pollen. And you can grow, if you're my age, you remember grass always had clover in it. We didn't throw chemicals all over the place. And I have a whole section in the back where clover of its own just took up, and I'm quite happy with it.
If you have grass but don't put fertilizer and don't water, is it still bad?
That gets back to what I said about the tragedy is that we don't have pollinator plants. Okay? So we need to plant them. That means you're going to cut down on your lawn. The lawnmowers are still heavily a polluting thing. The one slide in there that talked about the water usage that we have, again, not such an important thing around here, but in many parts of the world, it's a huge thing in many parts of our country. So it's not as bad if you don't use the chemicals, but it's still a problem. We need to get the carbon we're producing out of the air, and we're not going to do that with lawns.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
All right, good answer.
What are some environmentally friendly things that we can do at our school to help affect the earth other than recycling and water fountains?
Try to get the powers that be to let you plant native pollinators. I put resources over there, the resources to find what plants will grow well in wherever you are. Or the ones that I put up are nice, friendly, garden-friendly plants that don't spread all over the place. If you need more information, that's the key, especially planting trees. Some people don't have room for an oak tree. But they're beautiful, small trees that you can plant. And then put the native pollinators underneath and let the leaves stay.
All right, here's a toughie. How do you prevent Japanese beetles naturally? They kill my fruit trees.
There is milky spore that you can put down, and that kills the larvae. That does in the larvae. It lasts for about 17 years once you apply it.
Okay, how do you get your grandkids to weed, and how much do you pay them?
Well, when I started, the one set of parents said, you are not allowed to pay them. You do so much for them, they owe you. Okay? But eventually, so I would pay them with ice cream. When we do 2 hours of weeding, we're going to the ice cream store, and you can get anything you want. Eventually, I convinced their parents to let me pay them. I tell them every time they come, I'm paying you. Your parents are right when they say you should do this to help me just because I'm what I do for you. But I can afford to pay you, so I pay you. And I pay them well. I want them to come back.
All right. Can you tell a little bit about God's call on you to help the environment?
I'm a little slow. God is often having to throw me over a cliff or into a fire pit. When I heard this, I literally did not sleep for weeks on end because I kept thinking about what my grandchildren are going to have to go through. And that's what did it. God didn't let me sleep until I figured out that he was calling me to do something, not just be upset. And once I started getting out and doing stuff, guess what? I could sleep at night again. I will tell you, we are in an ideal part of the country, and I tell my grandkids, you may, for career-wise or whatever, want to move other ways, places, but have some property in the Midwest, in the heartland, because we have the best chances here, the best resources here. And we talk about migrants. It's a hot topic. Guess what? In many countries, they are already seeing internal migration. And as this gets worse, we are going to see internal migration. And you won't be able to afford to live here.
What would you suggest you use for stirring coffee other than straws?
My basic suggestion is put whatever you like in your coffee in the bottom of the cup. Then pour the coffee. It pretty much does the job. There are wooden stirrers and things. Again, it's not ideal. But I usually just put, I don't use sugar, so people who use sugar may need to stir more than I do, especially if you dump a lot of packets in.
Okay, one last question. Do annuals reseed themselves?
It depends on the annual. I do get a lot of, like, I get everything under the sun that recedes in my yard. Some recede very readily, and others are a little more tricky. So that's what it depends on.
Okay, well, I have one last thing. Talk about the bees. Not the birds and the bees.
Thank you. Many people are aware that our bee population is declining. So anything we can do to help them, they are so important to our environment. You know, I talked about not chopping down things in the winter, but if you have hollow stem plants, it provides nesting sites for them. You can put up houses, but you need to make sure you clean it out every year. The biggest thing we can do is plant pollinator plants and plant them so that you have a succession, not just one season. A lot of people will plant for the summer, but you need to have pollinators that are constantly in bloom. And the ones that I showed you, some of them were late, some of them are blooming now, and some of them bloom really early in the spring. I recommend getting the catalogs or looking online, some of the catalogs that I list over there, because that really helps. You could see them over there. It helps you figure out, you know, when is this blooming? Does this need moisture? Does this need sun? Does this need shade? It doesn't necessarily tell you how easy it spreads. That's the downfall of that. But there are places, and you can talk to people, and I tried to give you a number of them that aren't going to spread all over.
Kate, thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and for your ministry.
There's an important thing somebody wants me over here.
50% of the plastic, somebody can criticize because I have plastic. You can't get rid of it in our society. It's just endemic. It's everywhere. 50% of the plastic we use is single use. That's what I'm opposed to. That's what's ending up in our waterways. Steering wheel in your car is plastic. But that isn't the problem. The problem is single use and waste.
Again, so much for us to go forward with and to think about and try to do as much as we can. It's now my pleasure to introduce Our Lady of the Alms student Oliver Villapando, who will offer our closing prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today. We also thank you for the food and opportunity that you have brought to us to be here together. May you guide us to do what we have been taught to do from you. Amen.
I also didn't think to say, when you said I have, somebody said I have plastic up here. I didn't know at the time these things were purchased. Some of it I just pulled up out of the basement, and they'd been purchased many years ago. I wish I would have known.
Again, everyone, thank you so much for coming. If there's any desserts left on the table, please grab those, because they're just going to get thrown away. We look forward to seeing everybody here next month on December 2nd. Have safe travels, and thank you again for coming.
Please take samples.
Okay. Hey, I have a question. What was the reference for the thing that you take over the bowl?
I brought the different names.
And what was the thing you said you used instead?
These things. Those are my bags.
Oh,
like
okay.
When you go into grocery stores.
Okay. Got it. And were you saying, was there something you used instead of cotton? And maybe
yes.
Oh, okay. Got it. It's great meeting you.
Take care. All righty. And what fertilizers are planned to use, like in just like compost, cow manure, chicken manure? Okay. Now, chicken manure costs, so you don't want to cook off.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. There's a low carbon footprint on the internet. I love giving plants and getting plants. Great. And then also, I have these beans. I call them Corinne beans. They're like a foot long.
Red noodle beans.
Okay. That I got them from people from the Corinne people from Myanmar. And they are phenomenal. They're very hearty. Great stuff. These aren't red. These are all green, and I've had some that are 2 foot long.
And
They're like pencil thick.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit sweeter than regular beans. So,
but yeah,
is there like a seed place where I could give those seeds away?
No, Crown Point spring is having seed swaps.
Oh, cool.
I'll
look that up.
I'll give you some beans.
Okay, awesome. I love the idea of having plants that spread, too. Awesome. Okay, thank you very much for your ministry. Keep up the good work.
Do you have a business card?
I speak anywhere somewhere.
I belong to the Akron City Club, and we have time to have speakers.
There's a card right there on the table.
Okay, and what is your card?
Nothing. When God says do this, you don't say give me some money.
You guys.
Okay. We'll give you a lunch.
Jump in, Charlie.
Oh, jump in, Charlie.
Jump in.
That was a really good. That was a really good talk.
Yeah.
It was
so good to see you. Could you jump in, pitcher?
And she said she
would be in the middle. Actually, you can switch to. So you're in the middle. There you go. Could you turn sideways like turn sideways or angles?
Wrong way.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. All right.
You know, remember, everyone, see for wall. Oh, okay.
I got it too. Did you get a small one of these or a big one? What's the normal mason jar size? Is it a small one? Yeah, because this is a big one. I feel like, okay, I'm going to grab the small one.
Hey, hey. I resemble that.
Hey, oh, did you get a chance to send
that? You just had big ones left.
Maybe we can go.
Are you getting a small
basically
one?
Basically,
this. Oh, trade me.
Doing prayer one time.
Thank you. I think the small one is the normal size, right?
Okay, send me what you have just because somebody asked for it and I'll push it.
It all works.
Okay, if you can send it to me,
you have a chance.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
All right, thanks, girl. That's just a joke.
Sheets have dried and it's not in a plastic container. I never thought I could probably go down to the Ashery in Amish country. I bet they have soap powder in huge bins. They might even have it out in Uniontown at Bilo. That works.
Yeah.
I'm just eliminating more and more and more.
You know, but that's...
We've eliminated so much lawn because my wife just wants planting islands. Like, my backyard, it's wide enough. It goes like this. It's wide enough to get the lawnmower through. But I'm trying to think if there's something else I can plant there. I even thought of, like, thyme or I thought maybe a reseeding with clover, and that we could still walk on it, but it would, you know, but...
But see,
I don't care about invasive. I've got all kinds of plants, horrible invasive plants, but they fill in, you know, ground covers. I have lamium, and that stuff spreads like fire. That snow on the mountain, ground cover with the aluminum plant, they called it. It's a ground cover, but it gets pretty flowers on it and everything. And I have that. In fact, that stuff gets so thick, it choked out the lily of the valley. And lily of the valley is invasive. But this stuff is so invasive, it chokes the lily of the valley.